basically every person that I spoke with, I kind of instantly felt like I had a ton in common with them.
Yes.
I kind of felt like I knew them somehow because they had seen some of our videos about specific things, and it really was a neat experience. And that's from social media. That is a positive byproduct of being on social media. Welcome to another episode of the Essential Craftsman Podcast. I'm Nate. I've got my dad here, the Essential Craftsman. How are you doing?
We're having a good day, man. Spring's here, almost.
Yeah, for those of you who are watching, we've got all kinds of cool props here. That this is going to be a little bit of a spoiler alert. We've got a big Bowie knife that we've got a recent video coming out on pretty soon.
Twisted Damascus, 15N20 and 1095.
And we've got what has got to be the coolest sword I've seen you make yet. It's not done, but holy smokes, it looks like Bilbo's sword.
Yeah, it's patterned off of Sting.
And actually, it's even blue, and it's just beautiful. And it has been filmed, and it'll be really cool to get that video out. So you can see that on YouTube, but really a beautiful piece, and it's right on the desk here.
Yeah, that's going to be the pommel. So it's Damascus. That's a highly figured Damascus blade, and this pommel is also going to be highly figured Damascus, and so in process.
We wanted to talk about social media and just how big of an impact it's had on our individual lives. And we almost couldn't even plan this discussion without using the word addiction. And so that's where we're heading with this. Maybe to start at the beginning, from the time you got your phone, your smartphone or your iPhone or whatever, till now, what did those early couple years look like? And then we'll kind of get to where you are now with it. And we're going to be talking about how your life's changed.
My first cell phone was a brick phone with a great big transmitter under the seat of the Chevy truck in Las Vegas, mm-hmm. right? And it was expensive to operate and to buy. And then I ended up with a flip phone. That worked fine. I wrecked a couple of them, you know, hanging fascia board from the top, and the flip phone would just come out of your pocket and go to the ground. But it was not a big loss. And then the smartphone showed up, and it was such a supreme frustration for, I guess I was, how old then, 54 or 55. It was just so hard to get used to it. And then it began to morph, and email and texting fell in love with. The first time I was texting, I was coming back with Cy from a blacksmith conference up in Washington State, and he said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I'm trying to text." "What is text?" And I tried, "Well, doesn't your phone work? Why don't you call him?" "Well, yeah, but..." And so it was such an odd transition. And then, man, Katie barred the door.
Does Cy text now?
No, does not. Doesn't have a cell phone. Maxine has a cell phone. Huh. He bought a new Chevy pickup, and it had the OnStar thing. So he paid, it came with a truck for like a year, cell phone service, and he used it and he liked it. And when it expired, it just wasn't worth it.
Well, there's no cell service at his house, so that could be his excuse. But come on, Cy. He's probably the last one I know of who hasn't jumped on yet.
Yeah, pretty much.
When I first got my iPhone, it was probably 10 years ago. I remember almost instantly, when I was going to bed especially, like looking at it and reading the news or whatever, and I knew instantly I was addicted. And basically every night since, I like read the news or email or whatever when I'm going to sleep, and absolutely addicted basically from the first moment, maybe the way that some hard drugs do to people. Let's go to the specifics. What social media apps or spaces are you using primarily, and what type of an impact do you think that's having on you, good or bad?
It's still hard for me to learn new apps. I don't just instantly comprehend these things. They're not intuitive for me. And so as a result, I've never engaged with Facebook. It seems to need just a few too many moves for me. Instagram, I don't really even know how to find other people's Instagram feeds. Mm-hmm. I barely know how to check my own, and I don't spend really much time doing that. So since I'm no longer a general contractor, email has jumped way up. But YouTube is it. I mean, interacting with the channel is, every once in a while, that my U.S. Cellular sends me a report of my screen time, and it's appalling to me.
Yeah.
The number of hours every day. I would have never imagined that many hours of my life would be spent looking at a screen.
Yeah.
But it is almost all checking orders, responding to emails, kind of keeping up with the comments, cleaning up the channel. When we have filters on our Creator Studio, so that, you know, egregious profanity and obscenities just don't get in, but sometimes they sneak in. And so I have to kind of clean that up because it's a family channel. And between that and just sort of interacting with and getting a sense of what the people want and how they're responding to the channel, I'm there a lot.
With YouTube, there's a back end when you are creating content that is an app that delivers all of the comments basically in one big feed. And it's definitely interesting. And we scroll through those primarily to get feedback, or at least the way I've used it is to get feedback and ideas and, you know, learn ways to improve the videos and maybe good questions that weren't made clear. But man, it can also be so addictive to just kind of scroll through and read. Mm-hmm. And after about the first, 50 comments on a video, you know, you can get a good feel for the items that could be improved and such, but it's easy to just still read every single one because it's just, I don't know why. One of the obvious ways that social media is negative is it takes time out of our day. And instead of reading or doing something valuable, learning, you're just kind of consuming and not contributing anything. But that's nothing new because television's been around for a long time and being lazy has been around for a long time. It seems like one of the unique impacts of these social media platforms is how easy and how quickly you can kind of compare yourselves and judge your own life against somebody else's life, or at least how somebody else's life might look. And I really feel this even with our videos because I watch YouTube all the time with our family. We'll watch channels and videos together with the kids, and sometimes I'll be stumble into a new channel and some fellow's making videos that are so beautiful and their channel is so huge that I'm instantly just feeling like I am a joke.
That's it. We're done. We're done.
It sounds, this might sound kind of silly for people who are, you know, making videos on a smaller scale than us, but the feeling is just real. It's real. I can instantaneously feel like crap.
Yeah.
By just seeing something else that somebody's created. And the same thing's true, of course, with Facebook or Instagram. If I see one of my peers who's moving into a new beautiful home or whatever it is, and I can instantaneously feel worse about myself just by seeing that picture or post. That's not good.
It's not good. And it's just, this has always been part of human nature. I mean, I'll use a metaphor. You go to church on Sunday and everybody's projecting their Sunday face. Okay, and you are evaluating everybody by what they have carefully put on and combed, and what they have come to project is how you evaluate them. But you evaluate yourself with what you perceive of your own weaknesses and shortcomings and frustrations and resentments, and that's how you understand yourself. But you understand the other people by how they look, and it's the same way with what you just described on those channels. You know, you can only evaluate them by how that video looks, and so I guess I'm thankful for that because people like the way our videos look.
Yeah.
But it's not real. It's just not real. And it's a hard thing to keep track of.
And people are so different that comparing people is kind of an impossible thing because everybody's so different.
Everybody's so different.
We know you can't compare apples and oranges, and two individuals are more different than apples
than
and oranges.
Apples and oranges, yeah.
And yet, I see some peer of mine or even someone I don't know who's just really achieving incredible things, and I just can't help but compare myself with that person and generally feel worse about myself as a result of it.
Yeah. So maybe that standard issue human characteristic is now on steroids with social media.
Yeah. This is challenging for me and probably for a lot of people, but it seems like it would be especially challenging for younger people. And I'm thinking about kids, you know, who are in high school.
Teenagers, man. What a tough time of life that is.
Yeah.
You have no context for your life, really, except that your body and your attitudes are changing so fast. You're a foreigner in your own skin.
Yeah.
And then social media must just pour gasoline on that fire in a crazy way. So the whole bullying thing, the cyberbullying, I don't get it. But I get it better than I did.
What do you mean you don't get it?
I don't understand what that would be like for a teenager because I'm not that anymore.
Oh.
But I know what a trollish comment is like for me.
And not even a trollish comment, just a pointed comment.
A pointed, spot-on comment. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair criticism is not easy.
Yeah.
And unfair criticism is like, you know, you grit your teeth and you lean forward and you want to respond. And so what is that like for a kid who gets singled out on a social media thing in front of the whole world?
Yeah, and the comment is, you are ugly.
Right.
Where it's kind of like,
I didn't know that before, but I know it now.
And now that's in my head.
We hear a lot of concern about the fact that young people in a texting and Twitter culture are losing the ability to communicate face-to-face. I have no idea if that's true. But if they're spending as much time as I'm spending, and some of them are spending a lot more, then there's something that they're not learning and experiencing that they would have been a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some number of experiences that are not stacking up and building a fund of knowledge. And you know, and so I don't know what those costs are.
Yeah, I don't either. I really don't know. And we'll get to it, but there's, of course, a bright side to all of this as well. You know, we all have now maximum information. And if, you know, there's probably kids who are in maybe negative home situations and social media and these types of online, I mean, like our channel and lots of other ones where they might be able to get something positive and uplifting that otherwise wouldn't be in their life at all. So there's definitely two sides to this.
I don't know how you and Allie and Adam and Aubrey and my other kids, I don't know how you guys are going to deal with this with your kids, but it's going to be fascinating to watch.
Yeah.
You know, because all of my children's families that are growing up in an environment where social media is in the air they breathe.
Yeah.
And they will never imagine or remember a time when social media wasn't the way that we were interacting with most of our friends.
Yeah. I mean, I can't think of a good reason for, let's say, a teenager to be on Instagram or Facebook getting this type of programming and judgment. At the same time, if you keep a kid from something and withhold it, it's almost a guaranteed way to have them really go off the deep end or have no idea how to cope with it once they do get their hands on it. So somehow it has to be introduced because it's the world we live in. I mean, and here we are.
Here we are.
Look at, I mean, we eat and breathe now social media. It's kind of our whole life, at least in terms of work. And so we get it. It's this is the world we live in. I don't really know how to think about introducing it to kids and my kids when the time comes. Hopefully
time to start thinking about it, man.
Hopefully the power grid shuts down long before then.
He turns 7 tomorrow. You better start thinking about it. So I'm just remembering, you know, one of the reasons that I connected with A-Bomb, Adam Booth, is because he and I both have been tradesmen working with our hands and then have been dropped into the social media world, and our emphasis has shifted away from the blue-collar work to social media work somewhat. And so that builds an affinity and sort of a shared kinship and sense of loss and sense of accomplishment and sort of a wonder at, wow, what else am I going to have to learn in order to swim in this pond, you know?
Yeah.
And it's so it was an unexpected and brand new path to acquaintance, if not friendship. So maybe the upsides outweigh the downsides. Let's hope for that.
Yeah, and I got to assume there's high school teachers and really good ones who are more tuned into this, who are helping to set some expectations for their high schoolers and sort of teach them, you know, how to think about social media. You know, it's kind of like when I was a kid, and today still, but when you're checking out the grocery store, there's tabloids and all of these pictures. You kind of see them, but you walk past it knowing that's not real. That's entertainment or something.
Good point, yeah.
And even when I was a kid, I could kind of easily differentiate that from what was in my life real. Maybe there's a way to sort of create that barrier, and maybe kids are going to develop a taste for that where, yes, it's cool and it's entertaining, but maybe we're not giving them enough credit. Maybe teenagers can define those lines.
Yeah, but relying on public education, a lot of kids were not taught how to balance a checkbook. Now, maybe that's been obviated now. Maybe
it has.
Maybe balancing a checkbook is no longer a useful skill, but there was a long period of time where it was critically useful and you didn't learn it in school, you know? So I'm wondering if there's something about social media that would be critically important to be taught in a formal setting that is not taught for some combination of reasons. It should be taught that parents need to be heads up to and say, okay, balancing a checkbook equivalent in the 21st century would be what?
One of the things I love about all social media, at least the ones I'm involved in, is how you can locate similar people to you. For example, on our channel, we have this community of people who are interested in old tools and craftsmanship. And it's kind of nice knowing that there's more people into this type of thing than I might have otherwise thought.
I grew up sort of thinking that you were lucky if you had one or two good friends in your life. And then as I lived longer, I thought, wait a minute, maybe I've been really lucky because I've got 10 or a dozen really good friends in my life. And now it feels like, and I have reason to think it's true, that because of social media, that number could increase a lot.
Yeah.
And not just for me as the guy that you make look good and that has a chance to present to the world the things that I actually can do, but maybe social media itself broadens the pool of prospective true friends, which are about the most precious thing there is. Mm-hmm. You know, as you get older, your circle of people that you can rely on, the bigger it is, the better life is. And maybe that is the overwhelming contribution of social media to put you in contact with a large enough number of people that kindred spirits can sort of gravitate to each other.
Sometimes when you meet a person that you have a lot in common with, you can instantaneously be very close friends.
Yes.
And we've noticed that at some of these events we've gone to, like when we went to Texas, there was, let's say 500 people there. And basically every person that I spoke with, I kind of instantly felt like I had a ton in common with them.
Yes.
I kind of felt like I knew them somehow because they had seen some of our videos about specific things. And it really was a neat experience. And that's from social media. That is a positive byproduct of being on social media. So
yep. And I think hopefully that's not just working between the person whose face is on social media and the people who are watching it, because the meet and greet we had in Arizona and in Texas at the Good of the Land Festival, I saw the people interacting with each other, and it looked like they were coming from a position of assumed shared interest and some sort of an overlap in a value system, which enabled friendship to be flourishing out there and not just, you know what I'm saying, not just with the people on the media, but the people consuming similar media had similar interest. So maybe the other really overwhelming upside to social media is how all of the knowledge in the world is not just available. It's not just that you can ask Google for answers to questions, but you can engage with humans who don't just have the answer, but can tell you why. I mean, there is all the knowledge, all the practical knowledge that anybody's going to need, and you can go about as deep as you want with social media just by pursuing the people who are contributing at the more fundamental levels. How else could that ever be duplicated except through a social media platform like everything is now?
It wasn't too long ago that most entertainment was, or a lot of entertainment was sitcom related.
Yes.
Where there was almost...
Or sports.
Yeah, where there's almost no positive side effect to consuming the entertainment.
So that's maybe part of the answer to how you introduce your kids to it. Say, listen, here's this, you know, but here's the portions of this that have value, and push and somehow bait them, entice them, encourage them to veer into that instead of getting sucked into whatever it is. It's just the equivalent of reading an endless barrage of, you know, romance novels or science fiction fantasy with no real moral message or any, you know, because we've been able to waste time for a long time.
Yeah.
This is just a new way.
Allie and I were talking about this topic the other day, and she mentioned, and I think she heard this on a podcast she was listening to, the kids are watching YouTube or all these shows, and the parents are deliberately helping their kids also create content and put things up. I think for the express purpose of not getting in the habit of just consuming and absorbing, but
that's brilliant.
But realizing like this is how it works. And I've learned myself in creating content now that I've learned to discern what I see online differently. I can, it's easier for me to tell how video editing makes things look and feel maybe better than they are. And it's just been good for me to kind of get used to creating it as opposed to just consuming it. That's probably good advice.
That's the best advice I've ever heard as far as how to bring the snake into the living room, right? Because he's coming in anyway. But it would give them the ability to recognize the difference between how they look on the screen and how their life really is, and then project that into the way that other people look on the screen in a way that threatens their self-image or makes them discontented with their life or triggers an out-of-control competition response.
I don't think they meant like help your kid post selfies either.
No,
think of a topic, think of something you know, think of something you can share or or learn something. You know, in school, when we were in school, you read a book and you do a book report and you deliver that information. And in a lot of ways, that's what we do. And a lot of creators is you do research and you kind of prepare yourself and then you deliver this information. So
if you have stepped into social media, then you can't help but be comparing whatever the size is of your platform to the other people's platforms. Yeah. And it is as true in social media as anywhere else that there's always a lot of people who are bigger, faster, stronger, smarter. Mm-hmm. But social media kind of makes that irrelevant because, so PewDiePie, right? Is that right? Is he still the acknowledged giant in YouTube?
Well, he's number two. No offense, Pewds. But
sorry, man.
He's number two.
You know, you're doing pretty good though.
Yeah.
But what difference does that make? Mm-hmm. In the same way, so I went to a blacksmithing class and Mark Asprey taught it. It was a revelation to me in a lot of ways. That guy's a master teacher and he forges great. There is a blacksmith whose name is Tom Joyce, artist blacksmith. And he has an art sense the size of Texas. And he has technical skills and he has tools. And almost nobody that I've ever seen examples of their work, no one's work approaches Tom for just elegance and beauty and sophistication, right? And Mark Asprey, I was delighted to learn, felt the same way because he said, let Tom Joyce go. In other words, stop worrying about Tom Joyce. Just immerse yourself in your craft, in your life, and take satisfaction at your forge and your anvil. And the same thing has to be true with social media.
Yeah.
Let PewDiePie or what's the name of it?
Essential Craftsman.
Let Essential Craftsman, who some people think has a big channel, but let me tell you from our perspective, it's dwarfed by so many. Let everybody else go.
Yeah.
Just play in your own sandbox and learn everything you can right there, right? The unintended benefit for us that could be an intended benefit for everybody is it is splendid family history.
Yeah.
Splendid. If you've got kids that you want to help bring content to social media, if you think it's safe, I mean, I don't know exactly what the hazards are around that, but if you're comfortable with that, you will be looking at those videos years from now and be so thankful, because it's the only way you can remember what they really looked like and what they really sounded like. And let me tell you this, that when you see those pictures of your little ones 20 or 30 or 40 years ago, you can almost remember what they smelled like. And that is something that is priceless.
I was talking to someone a few days ago who was interested in making videos, and it's kind of what you mentioned. A good place to start before you even really get creative is just edit and practice assembling the videos and the pictures and all the content you already have just for practice. Family home videos. In other words, make some really neat family home videos. There's so many side benefits to it. And even if the social accounts you share them with are just to your you know, family, that is so valuable.
It is valuable.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning into the discussion. This is really important topic. There's probably some experts out there who have much more clear and well thought out positions and insights. And I would actually love to tune into some of those. So if any of you have recommendations on podcasts or web pages or anything where we can really learn from some experts who have spent some time and research on this, it would probably be helpful. So feel free to share. Do you have any last thoughts or comments for us?
So I'm a little more encouraged about the potential benefits of social media in the lives of my grandchildren than I was when we sat down here and started to talk about this.
Yeah.
I can see some real positive things for these little people. And ordinarily, I just think about it in terms of what I need to warn them about.
Yeah.
So anyhow, find a way to make it pay, dads. Find a way to make this pay.
All righty. We will catch you next time. Thanks for tuning in.